Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on December 4th, 2016. How did it get to be December? It is, though, and here we are looking at the week ahead of December 4th. I am not sure how 2016 went by so fast. 2017 is in sight. We're getting close to it. And our job, of course, is to go, okay, 2017 coming, 2016 wrapping up. And you can hear the fire sirens outside going, it's going quickly. So what we do in the weekly weather is we talk about the energy in the heavens above and how it's going to show up and what it's going to be. And we have a very strong energy here about, okay, what's that new direction? Where are we headed? What are we doing? What's the energy about? So the week ahead, we have interesting things. We are in Mercury's shadow. Mercury stations 3 to 4 times a year. And this year he has a station on the day that the Electoral College votes for the President of the United States on Monday, the December 19th. And we he goes station to go backwards at 15 of Capricorn, just a smidge short of Pluto at 15 cap, but certainly on the degree that the election took place. Pluto was at 15 on the election, 15, 16. So he's going to go backwards till January. And, of course, Mercury retrograde is in an Earth sign this year. So he's been an Earth sign last December, the one in Taurus, the one in Virgo, and now this one again in Capricorn. So whenever Mercury's in an Earth sign, things break. Okay, so if you're hearing little scritchy noises from your cell phone or your recording devices are going, rah, 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 rah. In my case, there's a fan in my living room making a lot of noise. I laid down last night to read an article in, you know, some magazine or something. I think it was New Yorker. And it was going, rah, 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 and I'm like, what is that noise? And it was my fan. So I'm looking at that little Vernado, and I'm thinking, you might not be long for this world. So Mercury in Capricorn, Earth sign, does break physically. Your pens run out of ink. You know, it's just that kind of energy. So just know we're in the shadow. The information you are hearing is all part of your Mercury retrograde story, and it's going to take place in the Capricorn house. And it's big. You know, Capricorn Mercuries are big. They make permanent statements. Anybody that we know with a Mercury in Capricorn, they are direct, plain-spoken folk. They say what they mean. They mean what they say. Not a lot of nuance, unless they have Saturn and Pisces or something. But basically, they're pretty straight shooters. And they're very literal signs. So Mercury in Capricorn is also very literal, which means that people aren't necessarily hearing the nuances of what you say, which means the Twitter messages, the tweets, the emails, people can very much misinterpret them. So if somebody's knickers get in a twist with Mercury in Capricorn, and especially with the retrograde, you want to kind of say to them, so what'd you hear me say? Because they didn't necessarily hear what you said. They heard what they thought, right? So the story I tell with Mercury in Capricorn, and the Capricorn Mercury people always laugh at this story, is a little boy gets told that his sister needs a blood transfusion. Otherwise, she's going to die. So they're going to take blood from him and give it to the sister. So he's like, okay. He agrees. Is that okay? He goes, yeah, you can give it to her. And then he goes, so he's giving it, you know, and he says to the doctor, so, like, is it going to hurt? And the doctor goes, is what going to hurt? When I die, is it going to hurt? And the doctor goes, well, you know, you're not going to die for a long time. He says, I'm not going to die because I'm giving blood. What he heard was, my sister's going to die. You need to give blood to her. And then, very Earth, Mercury, Capricorn, I'm going to die because I'm giving her my blood, right? And the doctor's like, no, you're not going to die. You're just giving her yours because she can use your blood. You know, in Capricorn Mercury's never get the nuance. It's not their thing. They don't do nuance. They hear you very literally. So all of us have Mercury in Capricorn right now. And the little boy, of course, was very relieved that he wasn't going to die. And, of course, you think about, gee, he sat there worrying he was going to, or thinking he was going to die, that his parents were sacrificing him. Of course, it's Saturn. You know, you got to sacrifice something for his sibling, Mercury. honor that Mercury in Capricorn and double check communications, confirm how you see things or how you're understanding things, because that's part and parcel of what's going on right now. The Capricorn needs to be speaking cleanly, plainly, straightforwardly, I don't know if that's a word, but in a straightforward manner. I know that works. Capricorn, see, I just corrected it. Want to honor that, the directness and the precision of a Capricorn Mercury, as it is very straightforward and it's very practical. So we have that. The Mercury's in his shadow. The other thing that happens this week is Venus goes into Aquarius. Now, she's been rolling along in Cappy, and she's happy in Cappy. She's making money, and she's content, and she's a little happy camper. And she's entering Aquarius, and when she goes into Aquarius, she's going to be in Aquarius until the beginning of next year, until January 3rd, when she enters Pisces. Now, Venus in Aquarius is a little bit detached. Aquarius energy is flying at 20,000 feet. It's the jet stream. Looks down, sees the big picture. Not necessarily romantic. Visionary, communicative, ideas, idea-based. And a thoughtful, but also a little emotionally detached, perhaps delivering information in a way you're not 100% thrilled with. Because she's going to say what she sees. And she sees stuff because she's flying so high. So as she switches into Aquarius midweek, she's going to shift the energy of Jupiter in Libra, which has been practical and answering to Venus in Capricorn. She's going to switch Jupiter in Libra into now being Jupiter in Aquarius. So he can kind of get a little bit more detached. And then, of course, Mars is in Aquarius. So we now essentially have three planets that are going to be either in Aquarius or be honorary Aquarians, which gives for a little bit of a separative energy with the Christmas holidays. I think I want to take a different approach to this. And Aquarian's not a particularly warm sign. It's, you know, it's cold up there in the jet stream. That's why they, you know, they that's why they fly up there with thermal things. But it also it's breezy. You know, it's got a breezy energy to it. And it also doesn't always think about what it says, because it's Aquarian. And, of course, it's answering to, as an Aquarius Venus, it's thinking the big picture, not thinking personal emotions. So the combination of Mercury in a sign that's very literal and Venus in a sign that's really not taking care of, not really thinking about feelings, a lot of things can be said in this next couple of weeks that people kind of go, wow, that wasn't particularly easy to hear. That kind of hurt, actually. And that's the energy. So what you want to do is kind of think about your approach and your vision to, you know, what the nature of the relationship is that you want. And, of course, it is the holiday seasons. A lot of us got through Thanksgiving just fine, thank you, with no political talk. We have the Electoral College meeting in 2 weeks. So we're in the showdown to that, and we also are in the step up to that. I don't know what it would be. But we're also in this story now where we're working with detached planets and detached signs, not emotional signs. So Mercury's in Capricorn. He's, detached. Think a fourth quadrant, a better way to say it. So the Anima Mundi, the chart of the world, runs Aries through Pisces, right? And houses 10, 11, 12 are the natural fourth quadrants of the zodiac. And that's the other group. That's the group, the collective, what we're doing for the greater good of the collective. So Mercury is in the sign of the collective. Venus is in the sign of the collective. Mars is in the sign of the collective. Jupiter's answering to a ruler. He's in the sign of partnership, but he's answering to a ruler in the sign of the collective. Saturn's in Sagittarius. He's in the, I'm going to teach you some stuff. And he is teaching us. And Uranus is in the me, myself, and I house. I don't really want that. And Neptune is in the sign of the collective. And Pluto is in the sign of the collective. So we got a lot of, and the South Node is in the sign of the collective. So we're really focusing on the collective right now, because the energy is taking us out of our personal space into the bigger picture. And, of course, whenever we get this much pulling us in one direction, we know that all the planets are kind of hanging out together in a clump. That's called a bundle. When they're all bundled up over there, they kind of work together in unison, kind of as a team. So it's very much energy about not taking it personally and looking at what the bigger long-term picture range thing is. And if you can focus on that and keep your head about you, you know, read the If poem, it's a good time for that kind of energy, right? So we want to kind of back it up a little. We're out of all the intensely personal water stuff that we had, and we are into a grand triangle in fire. The sun is in fire, Saturn's in fire, Uranus is in fire, and Jupiter's feeding air into the fire. And then Mars and Mercury are in air signs, feeding the fire. So, you know, people are like, what's with all the fires? You know, Gatlinburg, the Oakland Club, going to be a lot of fire this year. The energy of Saturn trining Uranus is going to go from now through next October, and that's the image I have of candles lighting matches. And somebody said to me, can I explain that again, when I did a reading with them this week? So basically there's, you know, each sign has three different modes: action taking, fixed, and changing, right? Mutable. So the action taking is when it begins a season. So fire beginning is a match. We light a match, it flares. That's Aries. Fixed fire, fire that doesn't move, that's fireplace fire. That's Leo. Think of the sun in hot Leo. Think of a bonfire on the beach. Think of a fire in your fireplace. Fixed fire. And then there's movable fire, which is candles. We light the candle and we can move it around the room. We can put it wherever we want. So the energy right now is lots of Aries, with lots of matches, lighting, lots of Sag, candles. So when you go to a restaurant and you see the tray, and they, you know, if you've ever worked in a restaurant as a waiter or waitress, you've done this, especially if they have candles on the table at night, you light the candles in the tray, and then you deliver them around to every table. Right? You don't just light a candle and bring it to the table and go back and light a candle and bring it to the table. You have to be efficient about it, be a Virgo about it, and you light all the candles in the tray, and you carry them around and deliver them. The energy of this year is take a match, light a candle, take a match, light a candle, take a match, light a candle. Now, if you happen to have planets in Leo, by either progression or natal, those candles are going to form a fireplace, a grand triangle in fire. But in the meantime, it's Uranus to Saturn, and it's lighting candles. Now, when we get to the summer, Uranus is lightning bolts. So we're going to have a lot of lightning bolts coming down and lighting fires. Now, of course, we've just gone through a big drought, so we're going to have a lot of fires this year. It's a big year for fire, and there'll be a lot of stuff burning all around the country, and that's part of the Grand Triangle and fire that we're going to be working with this year. We're already seeing it come in. We saw that town in Tennessee burn up. We see the club in Oakland burn. Lots of fires. And our job, one, no unattended candles, you know, because you don't want your house to burn up. And two, replacement value for your insurance. And three, lighting candles. Now, what happens when we light a candle is a candle does not, it shares its energy easily with other candles and with fireplaces and with matches. And it continues to burn. It doesn't go out. It's able to share its energy without effort, which is the beauty of fire. But it burns until the fuel is gone, and then it goes out. So your job with this energy of fire is to give it permission to light candles in your life in the areas you want to illuminate and the things you want to get going. Now, interestingly, and I don't even say this to my assistants, one of my assistants a couple weeks ago started getting into burning candles here in the office. So she found a strawberry candle and she started lighting it. So every day I come in and the candle's lit. And I'm kind of like, okay, I guess we're having candle lighting time. And she goes, I just really like the smell. And I'm like, well, yeah, it smells good. But it's also, it's a fire energy. You know, everybody's craving a little more fire or feeling the need for more fire or looking for fire because there's so much fire in the sky. And so that's the energy of the week. A lot of energy with Venus entering into air, feeding the fire. A lot of fire energy in the sky because it's working together. And then we are also entering into Advent, which, of course, is the candle season. We're in Advent. It was started last Sunday. We're in the season of candles. We light a candle, you know, the four Advent calendar the four candles of Advent on the wreath. So that's the week. We have a bunch of other stuff, too, which we'll get to right now. Get out your weekly pens and papers, and let's do the new moons. So the moon right now is in Aquarius, and it goes void tomorrow morning, the 5th, at 6:23 in the morning, and is void all day tomorrow. And it enters Pisces at 11:31. Then it's in Pisces, 11:31 tomorrow night. It's in Pisces late tomorrow night, and then it goes in Pisces all day Tuesday, and it's in Pisces Wednesday morning until 9:05 when it leaves with a square. So, moon squares Saturn. So Tuesday is a little stressful. The moon is squaring Saturn, not always getting what it wants. And the moon is void on Monday with a nice closing aspect of a sextile to Uranus, but not necessarily, it's void, you know. So Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of a waste. Wednesday, the moon is void all day. All right, so the first 3 days of December, just do other stuff. Do stuff that you need to get done, but no big projects. Moon goes into Aries, 5:16 in the morning on Thursday morning, and it's in Aries Thursday and Friday, and it goes void at 8:06 on the 9th. On Friday night with a sextile to Mars. So Thursday and Friday, very productive, but it's a fire moon, so it's going to amplify the fire energy. Moon is void Friday night from 8:06 through 7:41 in the morning, Saturday morning, when the moon goes into Taurus, bright and early Saturday morning, and it's in Taurus Saturday, Sunday, going void with a square to Mars on the 11th. So basically, the only day this week where things kind of flow with you are on Thursday and Friday, good closing aspects. The rest of the week is good for letting go of stuff or not doing things you don't, or doing things you don't want to do, or getting things out the door, or throwing things away, or releasing things, or just not having them kind of continue. Because the energy is very much about that kind of not having things move forward. And because it's a Pisces moon and an Aries moon and a Taurus moon, it's kind of emotional the beginning of the week. And then it goes into Aries on the Thursday, Friday, and then it goes, and then on Saturday, Sunday, it's in Taurus, but with a hard aspect. So we'll see what happens. It's kind of a stressful energy. We also have the moon joining Neptune, occulting Neptune, Neptune occulting the moon, which it tends to bring up a lot of emotional issues, and that's going to happen on the 6th, Tuesday the 6th. What that means is they're at the same declination. So there's an emphasis on emotion then, and we have a great deal of energy in the chart around what to do. We also have Pearl Harbor Day. On the 7th, we remember Pearl Harbor, and there's quite a lot of aspects in the sky, most of which are a little crabbier than we like to think, but they are active, you know, so it's a busy week, although a little crabbier than perhaps we might like. If we look at the weekly activity, you know, where the planets run, the sun is going to go from 12 Sagittarius to 20 Sag, and his big aspects this week are his union with Saturn on the 10th. So the Sun and Saturn are going to meet up on the 10th, and when they do, they begin a new one-year cycle around Saturn and Sag story, but they also often herald an ending or a transition or a shift and a change of things. Right before that, the Sun is going to sextile Jupiter. Now remember, Jupiter and Saturn are sextile to each other, right? And Jupiter's in Libra, the Saturn is in Sag, so air and fire feed each other. But we also are having the Sun come and link them up. So we're going to have kind of a little carrying of the energy. It's called, there's different terms for it, but basically what's going to happen is the Sun is going to bring Jupiter's relationship story to Saturn and say, okay, let's work with this on a new level. There's a lot of energy this week with the Sun paralleling Venus, which is on the 6th, which is a lot about how we collaborate and work together. And then the Sun is also in a blind spot from Pluto. So it's not necessarily seeing Pluto clearly. So it can get kind of tripped up a little bit. So, you know, my immediate thought that comes to mind was, you know, as I turned into my Yahoo tonight to get ready for the show, Army Corps of Engineers says they're going to reroute the pipe out in North Dakota. And tonight, at midnight, they're supposed to take the camps down. So I wonder if that will be delayed. Or if it's as bad, Eric Francis, who's a really brilliant astrologer, said it was a really difficult chart and represented a bit of a massacre. So I'm kind of like, well, they're saying they're going to redo it. Is that like a trick to get them to go home? You know, I'm just, you know, you get a little paranoid in your old age. But at any rate, so we're going to watch that energy with the Sun in Sag running in the second decan of Sagittarius, which is the Aries Martial energy, which is this week. So the Sun is in Aries decan, which is the fiery fighting energy. Mercury, of course, we talked a bit about beginning. Mercury's in Cap, and it's in its shadow leading up to its aspect to station on the Electoral College day. Mercury runs, and it's slowing down because it's getting ready to stop, running from 5 Cap to 10 Cap, less than a degree a day. It has important connections on December 8th. So you want to watch who you meet and get their business cards and get their contact information. It does want to revise your home and hearth a little bit on Monday the 6th, or maybe organize your papers or organize your books. I just had a note from my payroll company. I have to validate my W-2 forms for my employees. It's, you know, kind of cleaning up and getting the paperwork piece set. And then Mercury also has a sextile to Neptune on the 10th. And, of course, Neptune's in Pisces, Mercury's in Capricorn, so earth and water make mud, but they also bring out some form of creative when they work together. And Mercury also is working with Lilith this week on the 8th, which is usually an angry feminine energy kind of appearing in the world. So kind of watch for that and see what that is. And then he's also irritating Athena on the 11th. So Mercury's causing a little trouble. And, of course, he's very literal. So he might say something that is, you know, is true, but you don't like it, you know. And so don't get offended. Just kind of say to him, did you mean that? You know, the way it sounded, you know, or go in and validate. I remember once when a friend of mine, my sister's best friend, was getting married to this kind of redneck guy and nice guy, really nice guy, but he was a little bit of a redneck, and he referred to her as a good catch. And I kind of went, oh, you know, my little hackles went up, and I went, catch, like fish? And he's like, yeah, like fish. And I'm like, okay, before I go getting excited about this, I better find out if he likes to fish. So I said, so you like to fish? He goes, I love to fish. And he went on and on about fishes and different kinds of fishing, and, you know, I'm not a big fisherman. You have to bait the hook, and they lose me at baiting the hook. You have to stick a worm on it, and, like, it's the poor little worm squiggles and wiggles, and that's it for me. Maybe netting I could do, but not baiting. So when he goes, yeah, you know, and so I said, so calling her a fish is a compliment. Calling her a catch is a good compliment. And he goes, like, yeah, and then he went on about how great she was. So validate those phrasings this week when someone says something that you're kind of a little like, really, is that what you said to me? Because it's very literal. But it is a good week for firings and laying off and people getting killed off. And, you know, Game of Thrones will have people cutting their heads off and stuff like that. And that wasn't a spoiler. I don't watch Game of Thrones. That was just the asteroids in the heavens. Okay. And a lot of breakups this week. Moon in Capricorn. Venus is in Capricorn, and she goes into Aquarius, and she ends at 5 Aquarius. So she gets from 26 Cap, to 5 Aquarius. She enters Aquarius, as I mentioned before, on the 7th, and she enters at, I don't actually have a time here in my little thing, but she enters at 7, and then she's busy. So when she's in Aquarius, and she's in Aquarius through the 3rd of January. Before she enters Aquarius, she does have a trine to Admetos, which says to her, let's end these things. So there's an ending energy on the 6th. And she also has a lot of arguments with the energy of partnering. She's arguing with Saturn. She's arguing with Pluto. She's in Aquarius, so she's kind of detached and a little chilly. And she's arguing with them by declination on the 10th and the 11th, which makes her be a little bit cold. And so the feminine's not warm and fuzzy right now. It's got a little bit of unhappy. We also have Venus opposite Vesta on the 11th, and that's a lot about, okay, what do I want it to look like? What do I want the creation energy to look like? So it's not a great week for love. It's a great week for, the, you know, this isn't really working for me, and I'm going to roll. Mars, from December 4th through the 11th, goes from 18 Aquarius to 24 Aquarius. And he's in a little bit better shape. He's got a separating energy from, you know, he's just not in the mood to be argued with anymore on the 6th. And is a little bit of a blind spot. So you can say something and hurt somebody's feelings. Again, back to Mercury and Capricorn at the beginning of the week. There is a theme. There's always a theme for the heavens. They're teaching us stuff every week. And he does have a sextile to Uranus on the 6th. So you may find that he gets kind of hot and bothered right out of nowhere. And you're like, what are you so mad about? And it's probably something he didn't hear right or that he got told to him. And he's like, rah, 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 rah. So you want to kind of go, what'd you hear? What happened? What happened? Calm it down a little. Mars is also sextile to Ceres on the 7th. So that's, you know, when he kind of stomps around and, you know, breaks a plate or something. And so Mars is pretty active this week, and he's doing stuff. He also is square to Lilith on the 9th. Lilith and Mars are both at 22. And 22, of course, is a master number. So we're going to have some kind of standoff with Lilith and also Eris. You remember Eris, our little goddess of discord? She's at 22. And on so December 9th, we can expect a kerfluffle of people getting a little irritated, and of course that's when the moon is in Aries. So just kind of watch, even though it's, you know, it's got good closing aspects. See, good closing aspects can be, you can really get mad. So Mars is aspecting Lilith, the goddess of I'm not going to be subservient, and you can't make me. And it's sextile to Eris going, you know, I've got you under my thumb, you know, and Eris, of course, is Mars's sister. So she and Mars are working together to get everybody all riled up at the end of the week. Oh, yes. This is one of those fun weeks on planet Earth. And you know, it's all going to be because of miscommunication, because Mercury's in his shadow. We're going to take him a little too literally. Jupiter is in a quintile to Vesta. And he's just at 17, 18 of Libra this week. Not doing much, but he does want to decorate the house and make it look pretty for Christmas on December 5th. Saturn is just not doing anything this week. He's moving very slowly. He's at 18:52. Uranus is in a hard aspect to Chiron, indicating that there's some potential wounding. Now, remember, Chiron went direct as of last week at 20. Pisces, so he's inviting us to kind of move in a new space. Neptune is aspecting the nodes of fate, so there's a whole energy around what faith is, what we believe, why we believe it, and kind of pay attention to what your beliefs are the beginning of the week, what you think should happen, or why you believe what you believe, maybe even a better way to say it. Ceres is stationing to go direct at 21 Aries, so she's kind of in the mix too because she is talking to Mars and, you know, paying attention to, you know, what her energy is. And she's traveling very closely with Uranus. So this has got a lot of energy around angry feminine. Hygieia enters Sagittarius, so that's the good one for the flu or the first part of the cold. And Vulcanus enters Cancer on the 11th, which often shows up as some kind of volcanic activity that makes water move, or earthquake activity that makes water move. So we might have a tsunami in the news this week on the 11th. Hopefully not anything big. And that's the way it is. So I invite you all to sign up and give your friends and relatives gift certificates of astrology readings. You can purchase them on my website. It's a great present. And it's economical, ecological, and fun. And on that note, I wish you all a great week and a lovely week of December 4th. So have a great time. Take care. Bye-bye.